We are continuing with Jehovah Mekadishkim. This means the Lord who sanctifies. To set aside this day for the Lord is a privilege because it is not us who have originally set this day aside for Him, but He set aside this day for us. And He is holding us up as His prized possession and is saying that I hold myself in covenant with these people and we are privileged to have this day. Now, this day means nothing to those around us because they know nothing of that covenant. But when you come into the understanding of this covenant relationship with Him, there is that instinctive and natural desire in our hearts, put there by God, to meet together and to worship together and sanctify the day together. In Isaiah 58:13, the Sabbath from the time of creation. Let me read it to you. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Turn away from your pleasure and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable. Thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. This is a promise to those who will desire not just be here because it's a law and we have to be here, or the pastors taught that we should be here, but we want to be here. And you can be here and still not be blessed. It is when you come here with your heart as well as with your body, when you come here with your mind and your soul, your desires are to be here. And if you'll turn away your foot from the Sabbath for doing thy pleasure, if you turn away from doing your own pleasure on this holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. You've got the rest of the week where we have to do these duties. I don't want to pursue that any further this morning, but this word or this name of God, Jehovah or Yahweh Mekadishkim, is inseparably linked when we look at its context with the Lord's Day. And we are told to remember the Lord's Day. We're told that the Sabbath was a sign that belonged to God. It's a sign. And if the Sabbath day is withdrawn from you, then you no longer have that sign in your life. But what I'm saying is that people that no longer tend the house of God and meet together, they are a people that sign has been removed, that they are no longer His. They're actively taking themselves away. People say, you don't have to meet on the Lord's Day. And I say, why would you not want to? You don't have to eat if you don't want to. Don't eat. Just die. That's what you want to do. But why would you want to do that? And brothers and sisters, this morning, that people will work. Is it because they love work? No, they love money. And the only way to get money is to work. And that in the Ten Commandments, this weekly joining together, it is one of the summary, the Ten Commandments. Now, this morning, to get where I want to get to, the concept of a God-given day of rest is what is meant in this day. It is a day of rest. It is a day of rest. But this morning, I want to give you something that I hope and pray will remain with you as far as the Sabbath goes for the rest of your life. Now, in our little studies, evenings, Bible jotters, I've been showing them how that you can often, when you want to try and understand the Word of God, one of the things that God has given us to help us to understand the Word of God, and there are a number of things that I've been showing them, but one of them is nature. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. It doesn't say are seen, it says clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So it says that no one has any excuse because they're clearly seen from Scripture. And when people research things and come up with different conclusions, it's because they are willingly wish to be ignorant. So the Bible tells us. And it is along this vein that I wish to draw your attention and to bring the importance, the spiritual importance of the Sabbath to you. The blessing in Isaiah 58:13-14, those two verses that I just read to you, is based on the Song of Moses, which where it says, for the Lord's portion is His people, Jacob is His lot, of His inheritance. And when we are drawn aside, God is lifting us up. Today, the Lord is drawing us together and say, you are my inheritance. And when Moses, in his song, he said, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high place of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, and so on. That Isaiah is putting us together and saying that if we remember the Lord's day, he will cause us to be able to ride on the high places. Now, on this example, drawing upon the example of nature this morning, we know that we draw our power from God. And the Bible is telling us here, even as God poured out his power, created the sun, the moon, the stars. It's amazing, really, he said, and he created the stars also as a byway. Yet, the expanse of millions of light years, and it says that he refreshed himself in just one day, like when you rest, and he re-energized it, all that he poured out in one day. And it tells us that exactly in that one day we are to rest, because it was in that exactly in that 24-hour period. We draw our power from God on the Lord's day, even as we see here God draws his power from himself. So when we look at Jehovah Mekadishkim, and this is the basic principle here, that we are setting this time aside to draw strength from God, even as he drew strength from himself and rested on that day. And to draw our example from nature this morning, that when we rest at the end of each day, our natural body draws strength from itself. You know, sometimes that the old muscles are aching and whatever, you've done excessive work, maybe digging, whatever it is, working at work. But if you didn't have sleep for very long, you'd be in big trouble. But when you sleep, the body is replenishing itself. So when we rest at the end of each day, our body draws strength from itself. When we sleep, we re-energize the body's cells. This is what happens when we sleep, when we rest. And so as we draw examples from nature, we're seeing that on this day we are resting even as our bodies rest. And this is what happens. This day, the Lord's day, is teaching us that if we don't consider all the stuff of this world and all the plans and the things of this world, and we literally just clear our minds of all of those things, don't worry, don't think about them. This is not some law where, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. It is where you just focus your attention upon the Lord. You get your children to do it. That what you're doing is you're disengaging from all the activities that you normally do in the week. It has its principles in nature, as we will look at now. Because you see that when we rest at the end of each day, our natural body draws strength from itself. When we sleep, we energize the body cells. We clear the waste from the brain. These are not my words. These are the words, the scientific description. We clear the waste from our brains. So what we do is when we come and rest on the Sabbath day, we are clearing the junk that accumulates during the week. You see, because there is a basic principle that when the mind has to deal with everything else, it can't clear itself. It's a bit like a mechanic can't fix an engine while it's still moving. If it's got to get in there to take parts out and replenish parts, it can't do it while it's still going. You have to switch it down. You have to disengage it. You have to unplug things. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it is that when we go into a rest, into a sleep, we're not dealing with anything. We've shut down. You actually go into a paralyzed, paralytic state. And what nature is teaching us, that what the body does is that regenerates the cells. And on the Lord's day, we regenerate. And your success and your energy level spiritually are in direct relation to how you set apart the Lord's day. It's a spiritual principle. And it clears the waste and the junk from the brain, all the stuff that goes on during the week. Shut it all down. Forget it. Just let the spiritual mind of Christ just clear out all that junk. You come around the table clearing out all that junk, all that stuff that you have to cope with during the week. So when we sleep, we re-energize the body cells, we clear the waste from the brain and support learning and memory. That what happens is you need, they say that the minimum is 8 hours, that we actually ideally need 9.5 hours sleep. And basically what's happening is that it's saying here that we also, that we are supporting the learning and the memory. And on the Lord's day is when the Holy Spirit is supporting us, being able to learn God's ways and remembering. The Bible's full of remembering. We come around the table to say, remember the Lord's body. And what happens is that when we rest on that day, that it is focusing on memory. I'm remembering the Lord's body. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death. You're declaring his death until he comes. We are declaring that we are remembering. We are focusing upon the fact that we will remember. Their children were taught, the parents were taught to teach the children of the mighty acts of deliverance out of Egypt. And they were to tell each generation to remember, to remember, to remember. It's a big thing in Scripture. You can study it. And what happens when we rest? God is supporting our learning. Our learning of the word. This morning you're learning. You're learning the word and you're remembering. Sleep even plays vital roles in the regulating the mood and the appetite. And when you rest on the Lord's day, the Lord, that rest period is instrumental in regulating your mood and your appetite for spiritual things. The more that you start to lose sight of the Lord's day, the less your appetite. But if you literally give all of your day and sanctify it to the Lord, if you want complete and 100% regulation of your appetite, then give it completely over to the Lord. And your appetite is directly relating to the amount of rest that you get. It regulates. Apparently, that things start to go wrong. We eat the wrong things and our moods change. And so many times that our mood and our attitudes are wrong towards each other, and the things, the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is affected because we're not getting enough rest, spiritual rest. We're not giving our spiritual mind and our spiritual body, our spiritual life time to just settle and refocus. You see, when we're asleep, it's sleep that's doing it for us. And when we come into the presence of God, he's doing it for us. This is not a religion. This is not where I've got to change my moods and I've got to change my focus and I need more of God. It is a case where we come in and subject ourselves into him, that he is doing it for us. He's regulating the mood. He's regulating the appetite. Seven things are happening when you are asleep. Seven things. There could be more, but I researched seven things that happen when you're asleep. The brain, as we've already said, cleans the house. The brain cleans the house out. Have you ever found yourself sometimes where you've maybe trying to do something all day, maybe spend all day trying to fix something or get something and put something together and whatever, or you've had a problem and you don't know and you've just slept, you've gone to sleep, and the body thinks and the mind goes, at last I've got a time to work this out. You know, I'm not going to worry and clutter about everything else. And literally, God in his mercy puts people into a coma, if you like, into a paralytic condition, so the body is given opportunity. And everything that crowds out our life is to rob us of our sleep. You could throw out half the amount of junk that people are taking if they could get proper sleep. But there's radio 24 hours, TV 24 hours. I remember that if you were listening to the national anthem on the TV, wow, you were up really late because the national anthem came on every night. I remember when I was a child that if you were still awake when the street lights went off, wow, you should be sleeping. You know, that was bad. But now there is so much to grab our attention and having trouble with children studying at school and their behaviors and everything because they're not getting their sleep. Well, the brain cleans the house. Cleans you out, starts to clean. And you know yourself, you've woken up in the morning, you've gone to do something, and suddenly you're thinking, hey, this is working out now. Because your brain has had the chance to work it out in the night and has come up with a solution. But if you just put it here and press it there or hold it together like this, and the brain is amazing. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. You don't hear much about it and they don't admit to it very much, but the brain, that they don't understand it and they don't seem to celebrate the fact or declare it. And I can understand why. But the brain, you know, they say about the brain works all these things out and whatever. But a lot of the brains is that they're looking at things and decisions that are made outside of the brain. And the actual brain is the instrument to cause those things to happen or to implement those things or to think those things through. Like if I want to pick up this packet, I can do so. My brain coordinates everything so that I can do it. But the purpose and the will, it is responding to something outside of the brain. They don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is. It is that sovereign control of man. That is the spirit of man that God has put in there. Anyway, back to the subject this morning, seven things that happen. That's number one. Number two is that your heart rate and breathing slow. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, there is that what we need, what the Sabbath day, what the Lord's day does, is it reduces the heart rate. Let's chill. Let's count. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know, the people have said, oh, I just want to know more of God. Then I've said to them, well, then just be still. The secret of knowing more about God is to chill, be still. Because if you're in a hyperventilated state, you're never going to hear from God. What am I going to do? Don't panic. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning that when you come, you see, if life is so crowded you out that you can't afford the time to set aside this day of the week, then you've got trouble. Life is controlling you. You're not controlling life. Life is controlling you. You've got problems. But what am I going to do? How am I going to afford to get through? What's going to happen to my, you know? Hey, come on, just be happy. Just take the chill pill of God's day. And what happens is that the heart rate starts to reduce. And the other thing that happens is the breathing slows down. Ooh, just take a breath and relax. That's what they tell us, isn't it? Take a deep breath and relax. They say that if we take enforced sleep, induced sleep, you know, maybe like sleeping tablets or whatever, it's not the quality sleep that if you naturally sleep. You know, the Bible says that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And you can enforce yourself into the house of the Lord and it'll do you some good, but it's not like wanting to be here and saying, you know, I'm just going to expose myself to the Holy Spirit, let him speak and let him chill me out. Just chill. And when you come into the house of the Lord, you know yourself that when the Spirit of God moves, you go, oh, maybe it's not so bad after all. Just rest. You've often heard me say that when you come to the house of the Lord, it shouldn't be a place where you're worried about somebody titter-tattering at you. Well, what does Mrs. Jones think? And, well, what are the... No, my friends. This is a place where you could bring your slippers and put them on, put your feet up and rest. I'm not suggesting you do that literally. If you want to, okay, you can. We've got enough room. You know, if you want to turn a chair around and put your slippers on and put your feet up, I guess we wouldn't get a complaint. But I'm talking about resting. And you need that day of rest. It is a principle. Every 7 years, you lay the field fallow. That's what they used to do. Now that the fields are impoverished because of that principle is not put into place. So the heart rate and the breathing. The other thing that happens is, whoa, number three, the blood pressure plummets. Often we say, this is not doing my blood pressure any good. And we just feel it going up. Oh my goodness. But brothers and sisters, you see, we feel the pressures of the day. During the week, we have to deal with the family, we have to deal with the children, we have to deal with the workload, the pressures. And the old blood pressure, I'm talking about the spiritual blood pressure. And what happens is that on this day, the blood pressure can be normalized. Just refocus. So everything now is refocusing. The old pressure is just coming down. Chill. Are you feeling better? Just a thought of it. So the old enemy will say, I remember one of you said to me that, you know, that on Sundays, the enemy will start to get me worrying about the Monday. Do you know, Mondays, you know, seem to be the hardest day of the week. You know, some people call it Moan Day. It's the day that, you know, I remember I was at work one day and there was this chap, he was singing and the person turned around and said, steady on, it's only Monday. You know, you might sing on a Friday. Yeah, you know, Friday afternoon. Yeah, Guido, weekend, but not on a Monday. So we often call it Moan Day. Of course, then you've got Tuesday, which is, well, Thursday's Tears Day. Wednesday's is Wine Day. And so it goes on. But anyway, brothers and sisters, that we get these things. But hey, if we could just get the old blood pressure down. And brothers and sisters, Sunday, the Sabbath day, is the day that we take the blood pressure tablet. God's blood pressure tablet. Amen. Number four. Another thing that happens when you're sleeping is your body temperature reduces. How much do we sweat during the week? Oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm so exhausted with the trials and the stuff that I have to cope with. I don't know how I can get through. I'm exhausted. But when you come on the Lord's Day, the whole temperature drops. This is sounding good, isn't it? You see, brothers and sisters, that I'm not being humorous when I say this. I'm being absolutely serious. If you could get every Christian to learn the principles and love the Lord's Day, you could say to them, look, hey, that is the biggest physical treatment. Resting on the Lord's Day is the best mental, the best physical, the best spiritual, emotional, is the best thing you could ever do. And if the world did that, kept to that principle, you'd see the bill of the national health would go down. We used to go nowhere and do any shopping on the Lord's Day. And then we opened it up that we can have all the shops open. And then they turn around and say we should be more green and we shouldn't be using more petrol. I can tell you how to cut the fuel bill down in this country drastically by 1/7. And that is stay home and rest with your family and enjoy the things and go to church and just enjoy the Lord instead of having to race around the country and I must go shopping. So what happens is that so does the body temperature. So the blood pressure plummets, the body temperature drops, the heart rate and the breathing slow down. This is sounding good. The whole brain is cleaning itself out. Hey. And if you notice that the way you feel the following day is according to the quality of the sleep you've had. Well, the next thing that happens is, and you might not like this one, and I've already referred to it earlier, is you become paralyzed. One or two of you are looking, oh, I don't like the sound of that. You become paralyzed. When you're sleeping, you are paralyzed. Somebody can, you know, they could pick up your arm, you're paralyzed. Fortunately, the heart keeps going and the breathing does as well. But what I'm saying is that you become paralyzed. Well, what's the spiritual significance in that? Well, I'm going to tell you. And that is that when you give your day over to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I submit myself totally over to you. I put myself in a paralyzed situation where it is not by works, but it is by your grace alone. And to get to eternity and to obtain salvation, you have to put yourself into a place where you can do nothing about it. It is the grace of God. It's not by works that we have done, but by his grace alone that we're complete in him. You're saying, but I have so many things to do that I can't get to church. But those that give that day over are saying, well, I submit myself to God. And I put myself in a paralyzed situation that he can now do whatever he wants with my life, say whatever he wants, lead me, do what he wants. I submit this day and submit myself over to him. I was witnessing to a guy one day. He had a building business. And I said, and I witnessed to him, he said, oh, I was always too busy to go to church. And he said about how he used to lend his van to the church that used to be in the area of his building yard. And oh, he said the pastor would speak to him, whatever. He said, I was always too busy. I said, well, you're retired now. So what about going to church now? He said, I haven't got time. He's too busy when he's working. He hasn't got time when he's retired. I said, well, one day you'll have enough time to consider eternity. You'll have eternity to do it. The only thing is it will be too late. But brothers and sisters, that if we submit this day to him, we're saying, I submit my life into your hands. And so you become paralyzed. Don't you think that's great to be paralyzed to Jesus? To say, Lord, not my will. I paralyze myself into you. You do whatever you want. And when we're asleep, the body has a chance to clean out the junk and work things out that it doesn't have opportunity any other time. It's when we stop the engine and say, Lord, I just stop. I park the car up, fix it, service it, do what you want. The other thing that happens, the sixth thing, is that you pump out growth hormones. If you can't see the spiritual significance in that, then I give up. The Bible tells us that we are to grow, doesn't it? That's what the Bible says. It says on the Lord's Day, it says it calls us to grow. It says unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll come back to that in a minute. But the growth, and brothers and sisters, that we are to grow in Christ, we're to grow in the Lord, we're to grow in the gifts. And when we give ourselves over to rest on this day, it is the opportunity for the Lord to grow us. My mum always used to say to me, you only grow when you sleep, so you need to get to sleep to grow. I guess I didn't get much sleep. But you grow. It grows. The hormones, it grows when we sleep. It grows. And brothers and sisters, that if you need growth in the church, it's the Lord's Day. And you notice that according to the spiritual level in a country is according to those that attend the house of God. And you find that the more you want to be in the house of God, it is a result of growing. The two go hand in hand. And there's just one other thing that it does, and I did mention it just now. But the seventh thing is that it regulates your hunger hormones. What you do is that you eat less high-calorie stuff. In other words, when you come to the Lord's house, it increases your appetite just as when you get good sleep. It increases your appetite for the good stuff and reduces your appetite for the bad stuff. And basically what happens is that when you come to the house of the Lord, your appetite increases for the things of God. And so it is, brothers and sisters, these are the seven things that happen when you're sleeping. And this final one, I'll repeat it, is regulating your hunger hormones. I tell you what, my friends, we need a mighty regulation of a spiritual hunger in the church. It needs sorting. It needs sorting. I hear some of you sort of say, oh, I can't wait for next week. Your hunger is increasing for the things of God. I can't wait to see what God wants to do. You see, we need, as I said just now, about 8 hours. On average, it's nine. I said 9.5, but I think the exact average that people get is 9.25 hours of sleep. And a night of uninterrupted sleep to leave our bodies and minds rejuvenated for the next day. And what the Bible is saying to us, if you get an uninterrupted day's rest on the Lord's Day, that it rejuvenates you for the week ahead. Listen to this. You can make a note of it if you want. If sleep, get this, if sleep, not my words, these are the words of the research. If sleep is cut short, the body doesn't have time to complete all of the phases needed for muscle repair, memory consolidation, and release of hormones regulating growth and appetite. You cut it short, you're cutting your life short. I'll say it again, if sleep is cut short, the body doesn't have time to complete all the phases needed for muscle repair, memory consolidation, and release of hormones, regulating growth and appetite. And as a result, it is a case that if that time, if the Lord's Day is cut short, that you're never activated and you're never able to cope sufficiently and adequately with the week ahead. That the necessary things that God wants to put into you in this day to set you up for the week ahead, that when you're impoverished in your time of rest, it depletes the amount you're able to cope with the week ahead, cope with the problems that happen in these situations. Why do you think the enemy gets into individuals in the church? The first thing to go is your fellowship. If the enemy can reduce your time of fellowship with Holy Spirit-filled people, then you're not going to be able to cope, and you're subsidizing it with natural means, physical means, other things. And so I say it again because it's that important. If sleep is cut short, the body doesn't have time to complete all the phases needed for muscle repair. Are we giving God the time? Are we giving that day to Him? That memory consolidation, the release of the hormones, regulating the growth and appetite, all of these things. You see, then we wake up less prepared to concentrate, make decisions, or energize fully in our workplace, at home, at school, or in social activities. That's what the research shows us. So in other words, just look at this. We wake up on the Monday less prepared to cope, less concentrated on the things that we need to do. I don't know why I did this, we say. I can't work out why I did what I did this week. It is because you've not given yourself over to rest on the Lord's Day, and so therefore the decisions you make are impaired. Impair the Lord's Day and you impair your life. Well, I just don't seem to have that spiritual energy. I don't seem to be able to. My get up and go has got up and gone. Brothers and sisters, rest on the Lord's Day. And what happens is that if we give ourselves over to this day, suddenly we find our work is more efficient, our home is happier, our school is more productive, and so it goes on. You see, resting on the Lord's Day, the Holy Spirit rejuvenates us into His image. Say it again. The Holy Spirit rejuvenates us into His image. Let me conclude this morning. Exposing ourselves to the ministry on the Lord's Day is the rest that causes us to grow. Let me read it to you. I'm going to give you two verses before I close. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to build yourself up. That's what we do when we sleep, naturally. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That's what happened on the Lord's Day. It also says, I said two verses, let me give you three to close. In Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up. And a lot of Christians, they never grow up because they've not given time to rest. Let me give you this in closing. I'm going to read to you Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19, which is the spiritual, which describes the spiritual rest in action. Here we go. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is the process. This is explaining the process. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then what happens is that when we wake up out of that rest, we're able to say no unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So where did we get that? How did we get that re-energizing in us? You got it because we rested.